The title of our message tonight is Learning to be King Among the Sheep. Tonight we're looking at how God's sovereign plan in our lives converges with the diligence that we pursue the opportunities and the responsibilities that God has given us. God is sovereign. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. But there is a working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And the child of God is not a robot, neither does he let go and let God. There's rationality involved in the Christian life, though you might want to tell some people on television about that. There's plenty of people that call what they do Christian, and it has nothing to do with God. But David, he took the responsibilities and the opportunities that were given to him, and he learned how to be a king while he was shepherding sheep. And you may think very small on the opportunities that have been given you. Yet God may have something amazingly beyond your imagination that He's testing you and He's training you for. And I want you to see this in 1 Samuel 17. Let's stand together as we come to this place in David's life. He was anointed when he was about 15 years old, and there were 3 years in the valley that were seemingly forgotten, shepherding sheep. But God had a great work to do in those 3 years. And God brings him to the point where he's ready for battle and where he's ready for a great test in his life. 1 Samuel 17, the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next unto him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now I want to dwell on that verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem, while at the same time the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And we know at the end of this 40-day period of time that David was sent on an errand to bring food to the soldiers. And that's where it all begins. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would undertake tonight for all of us. Holy Spirit, as I pray, I ask that you would intercede for all of us here in groanings that cannot be uttered. We ask that you would pray for us that we might understand tonight, because we want to understand. We want to grow in our faith. Lord, do an amazing work of enlightenment in our souls tonight that we might please you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So we have a 3-year period of time. David is anointed to be king. 3 years in the valley shepherding sheep. And it seems like a futile time. He's 15 years old when he's anointed, and he's about 18 years old when he's called into Saul's court to play music. And during that year, 1 Samuel 16:21 tells us that David eventually became Saul's armor bearer, so he's moving up. Now, what did David do during the 3 years before he entered in Saul's court? At first, he gained status in his family. His brothers were obviously very jealous of him. He would have probably been prone to a little bit of pride. And so he doesn't make him king right away. He puts him back in the sheepfold to see if he's faithful and to test him and to try him and to train him to be the king of Israel. 3 years. And during these 3 years, David teaches us an amazing lesson. Shepherding was not a very glorious job. David was alone most of the time. He was forgotten. But we don't find David bitter and resentful. During these 3 years, an amazing amount of growth in grace takes place. And we have it recorded for us because several of the Psalms that we are familiar with, David wrote during this time. And certainly, he acquired his ability for writing and for music during this time. David prepared to be king while he was among the sheep. And how did he do it? Well, David prepared when he was forgotten. He had been anointed to be king, and he's sent back to feed the sheep, to take care of the sheep. And during this time, he focused on three areas of preparation. Look at 1 Samuel 16:18, because after this three-year period of time, one of the servants of Saul informs King Saul about David, and he says something about him. "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite," that is, number one, cunning in playing. Number two, a mighty valiant man, and a man of war. And number three, prudent in manners and a comely person. And actually, number four, the Lord is with him. First three things are in the earthly realm. The fourth thing that I want to show you is in the spiritual realm. But let's look at the first three. First, he focused on his musical ability. David was cunning in playing. What would we do today without the 73 Psalms of David? It was during that three-year period of time that he began to hone his skills. He began to really develop his skills, and he wrote several of the Psalms that we're familiar with. But while he was learning this musical ability, do you understand that he had no idea what his musical contribution would give to the entire human race? Think about what he was doing. He was honing his musical skills, and it was those skills that would allow him to compose the Psalms that would affect you and I today. This little shepherd boy's influence proceeds to us today. And so forgotten years in a valley are very important. There are no forgotten years to God. He never sleeps and he never slumbers in heaven. He's constantly using every day, every hour, every minute to conform his children into the image of Jesus Christ. And David used these years to hone his musical skills. He had no idea that his music would shake the world for thousands of years to come. And we learn in such texts as 2 Samuel 6:5 and Amos 6:5 that David even invented musical instruments. Who knows? Maybe it was David who came up with some things that led to the guitar that's in my office. I don't know. But don't ever discount the so-called forgotten years of your life, because God always is doing something if you're his child. And David chose to please God with what he was given. But what if David would have chosen to have a pity party? Think of the places that David's musical ability took him. Brought him right into the palace of the king of Israel, into the highest places of influence in the land. And let me just make an application right here, since we're talking about a boy who is 15 years old. Young people, if you are wise, you will use these years as years of learning, as years that are separated to grow for God. I can tell you that so much of my growth in grace that I depend on right now, I learned in the first couple of years after I was saved, when I was 15, 16, 17 years old. We're to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. You've got talent, young people, but you've got to use your talent for God. David didn't use his talent to ascend to great heights in the world. I don't know who the great musicians of David's time were, because they used their talents on themselves. But David used his talent for God. And God will make his name great through you. But if you try to make your name great, you're going to fail. Who won the Super Bowl 20 years ago? Come on, tell me. How about the World Series last year? Maybe you remember that. I don't. Give it a year or two. I mean, the things that we focus on. But if we will give our ability to God, we will go so far, because it will be the Lord that is leading us. But secondly, David focused on his writing ability, or his way that he could express himself. Because it says in the latter part of 1 Samuel 16:18 that he was prudent in matters and a comely person. In other words, David expressed himself extremely well. Now think of the hundreds of hours that he had in the field. And what did he do during those hours? Did he waste his time playing games and thinking of silly things? You know, we waste so much of our time meditating on useless, silly, irrelevant things. But David spent his time thinking deeply about himself, about the Lord, his God, and about the world around him, even about God's creation. And some of these things are reflected in the Psalms that he wrote. He looked at his Father in heaven and he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I'll never lack anything. I shall not want." He thought of the wonder of his own existence and he scribbled down, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." He looked up in the sky and he wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And he looked in his own heart and he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." These were the deepest thoughts of David's heart. But he didn't only just write these things down. I mean, they were part of him. He began to sing them to God. And when you start singing things to God, they're really a part of you. You ever sung to God in a place where you didn't think anyone was listening? David was one who sang to God, but he could articulate himself well, not just because he was an academic or he was intelligent, but because he meditated on the Lord day and night. And you can get to know God and the creation and even yourself rightly by thinking deeply about the Lord. Thirdly, David grew in the area of fighting during his time with the sheep. Hour after hour, David practiced with his sling. God would definitely guide that stone as David let it go, and that stone would go right into the forehead of Goliath. But David also had a great skill, because for hundreds of hours he was hitting objects in the distance that were the size of Goliath's forehead. He was using his time wisely and practicing. At this time, there were many marauders from the Philistines. There were robbers and thieves that would come to the shepherds of Israel. And David many a time would have to stand up and protect his sheep. And he was known. Nobody messed with David's sheep. I mean, I don't believe that he probably lost even one sheep, because this testimony that was given of David in 1 Samuel 16:18, this man described David as a mighty, valiant man, a man of war. And so the Philistines who threatened David didn't get very much, didn't get very far. So David gave himself to the abilities and the opportunities that God gave to him in those 3 years of silence. And it was during those 3 years of silence that a shepherd boy was turned into a king. And Proverbs 18:16 says it very well, "A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men." It's true that God gifts us, but we also have to apply ourselves to everything that God gives to us and to be a good steward of every moment and every gift and every ability that He has given to us. But fourthly, he speaks of David's spiritual ability. In 1 Samuel 16:18, we read, "This servant of Saul says, 'The Lord is with him.'" What a testimony. David was brought into great influence, not because he sought great things, but because he took what he had and he gave that to God and he sought God. What are you doing with your life? God has given you some precious abilities, hasn't He? What are you using them for? Are you doing anything with them? You know, every once in a while, Leron will come by the church and play a little bit on that piano. Some of you have never heard some of the stuff that he's played. He's working diligently. We're working together. We want to put something together that we can edify the body of Christ with. And who knows what the Lord's going to do with that, brother? What are you doing with the gifts and the abilities that you have? You say, "Well, I'm not able to use them right now." Maybe you're in a valley of silence, a valley of forgottenness. And maybe you've been forgotten. You feel left out. Doesn't matter. You're never forgotten by the Lord. You see, David sought the Lord. He sought Him with his whole heart. God has had a plan for David, and David's only joy was to seek the Lord. He wrote in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." And the path of life for David was to be the king. But he wasn't worried about the kingdom. He said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." He doesn't say, "In the palace is fullness of joy." He says, "In thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And let me tell you something. When you're in God's presence, and you look at a palace and a stinky sheep field, there's not much difference between the palace and the stinky sheep field when you're in God's presence. It's all a stinky sheep field on this earth. See, David understood that he was to seek not great things on this earth, he was to seek the favor of the great God in heaven. And God would direct his path of life. You know, joy is not found in the palace, neither is it found in victory and war. Joy is found in the presence of God. And when you seek the Lord with all the things that He's given you, and you use everything that He's given you for His glory, He'll make great things whenever He wants to, and He can do it in a moment. And so, David knew how to prepare when he was forgotten. But secondly, David knew how to prepare when he was forsaken. And let me just say, by way of application, that God had a plan for David's life, and God has a plan for your life. If you're a child of God, you will be conformed to the image of His Son. And let me just bring it down to where we live. Maybe you're a single mother. Let me tell you something, that God has a perfect plan for you, and your life has not been derailed. There is this teaching that there's the different levels of God's will. And God, you know, He's working with all of your mistakes. And He's got plan C and D and E and F and Z. Listen, God has one plan. Amen? He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He chose you even in all your weakness and frailty. And listen, Solomon. Who was Solomon's mother? Who was she? Bathsheba! One of the greatest mistakes of David's life, and yet God redeems mistakes. And you may think, "Oh, my life has gone the wrong way." Listen, God will give you the grace and the wisdom for every step of the way. He's got a plan. Listen, you may be a Christian young man or young lady looking for that perfect person that you're wanting to marry. And by the way, there aren't any perfect people. But if you are to marry, remember, your training for your future mate is occurring right now. You're in basic training right now. So keep yourself pure and keep yourself content in God. Maybe you're working and the work pressures seem great, but let me tell you, work pressures will not overwhelm the godly parent who is resting in Jesus Christ. You may be struggling with a job you really dislike, but God may be testing your faithfulness to put you somewhere else at a later time. Are you faithful in your present job? It's so easy to complain. It feels so good. Isn't it feel good to complain? But God hates it, doesn't He? Let's praise the Lord. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of the Lord. Well, David knew how to prepare when he was forgotten, but secondly, he knew how to prepare when he was forsaken. See, nobody is ever forgotten in God's kingdom. If you're a child of God, you're not forsaken. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. As 1 Samuel 17 opens, the Philistines are gathered in the valley of Elah. Elah means oak tree. So they're in the valley where there's oak trees. And the date is approximately 1021 BC. David is about 19 years old. He's had 3 years in the field and 1 year in the court of Saul. He's been a minstrel in the court of Saul, and he's been promoted to be Saul's armor bearer. That means the armor bearer gets to go into battle. And it's been 27 years since there's been a major battle with the Philistines. So the big day comes, and David was ready for battle. The only problem was nobody told Saul. So the big moment comes to march off to war, and David is sent home to take care of the sheep for 40 days. Look at 1 Samuel 17:15. David went and returned from Saul, to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now, you would imagine that David must have been disappointed and confused a little bit, because he had spent 3 years in the Valley of Silence only to be promoted to the court of Saul. Now he must be thinking, I'm making my way up to be the king. And he's doing his best. He's using his musical abilities. He's even become Saul's armor bearer. And now he's going to prove himself as a man of war. But God says, not yet. One more test. Let's see how humble this man is. Because leadership will fall if it is prideful. A haughty spirit comes before a fall. And so David is sent back to feed his father's sheep for 40 days. Now it would be 40 days with the sheep before David would defeat Goliath. Of course, David didn't know that it would be 40 days, did he? It could have been 40 years for David, and it was for Moses. We never know the length of time that God has for us to wait. The only thing the Bible says is, wait on the Lord. It doesn't say wait for a year. For some people, it's a year. For some people, it's 10 years. For some people, it's 40 years in the wilderness. For David, it was 40 days. And after 40 days, he was called to do an errand. Not to fight Goliath. He was called to be faithful in a very little thing, and he was faithful, and God entrusted him with a sling and a stone. Now let me tell you about a man by the name of Isaac Newton. Newton was also a forgotten person. Newton, of course, we know, went on to become a great theologian and one of the greatest scientists of all time. Before Isaac Newton, we were all floating around. There was no law of gravity. I'm just kidding. He discovered the law of gravity. And he was 4 years old when his father died. His mother remarried, but his stepfather had one request. He didn't want to be bothered with little Isaac. And so, for several years, little Isaac Newton lived a mile or two away from his mother. Now, his mother would see him on a regular basis, but he felt so rejected, we would learn from his own testimony. Several years later, though, God's plan would be revealed. When Isaac was 10 years old, his stepfather died, leaving a fortune to his mother. And when his mother died, she left her entire estate to her son Isaac. And that allowed him to pursue the studies of theology and science. Now he studied the laws of motion, and he would discover what would be known as the law of gravity. But see, God used those disappointing circumstances to put him in a place where he could take his time and use his abilities for the Lord. We all have testimonies like that, don't we? I was saved when I was 15. 3 months after I was saved, my mother died. And we all say that's a tragedy, but you know what? God has a way of turning tragedies into triumphs. God loves to take disappointments and turn them into divine appointments. And God took the death of my mom, allowed me to move back to Chicago of all places. I mean, I was living in Louisiana. I thought I'd stay in Louisiana. But there was a solid church that God wanted me in Oak Forest, Illinois. And I went there, and because of the monies put aside because of my mother's death, I was able to pay. My dad and my stepmother paid nothing, but I was able to pay for Christian school, and it was there that I surrendered to the Christian ministry. And the Lord took the money that was left over from all of that and allowed me to go through 4 years of studying for the ministry. I would never have done that. If you know my financial skills, you would know I could never have done that. I'd still be in school today. That's why I don't carry money around. And plastic is dangerous. Now, I have a good wife, so we're not in debt. And she reminds me of biblical principles of finances regularly. Thank you, sweetheart. But, oh, no man anything is a good rule to live by. But God loves to take disappointments and turn them into divine appointments. And maybe you have the sinful temptation tonight to paint the roads that were not taken in your life as more attractive than your present situation. Maybe your present situation seems so disappointing. Maybe you're thinking, well, what if I had taken a different job? Or maybe if I would have studied for something different. Or singles ask, well, what if I were married? Or marrieds might ask, well, what if I had married a different person? A better person, a perfect person. You're dreaming again. What if, what if, what if? That's all sinful. We should flee from those kinds of temptations and understand, as Colossians 2:10 says, that we are complete in Jesus Christ. That we are elected and that we are justified and that we will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ through whatever path He's taking us. And so, how do you deal with disappointing circumstances? I want you to see how David dealt with it. Did he complain? No. He decided during those 40 days, which could have been 40 years for all he knew, that he would be the best shepherd that he could possibly be. And he would experience the power of God in his everyday actions. And that would lead him to greater heights. He's back in the sheepfold. We hear his testimony in verse 34 of 1 Samuel 17. He's back in the sheepfold. He sees a lion. He chases the lion. He kills the lion. As he stares at that dead lion, he's probably shaking, realizing that it was supernatural strength that God gave him to kill that lion. Listen to the words of David and meditate on them. He killed a lion with his bare hands. Verse 34, he says, when the lion arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Did you catch that? He caught a lion by his beard and hit him so hard that he died. Hello? I mean, the Holy Spirit had empowered him to meet this crisis. He had a similar experience with a bear. It was also not only his actions, but his attitudes. He's killed a lion and a bear. He's on his way to do a small little errand for his father, and he shows this attitude of submissiveness. He's been anointed king. He's just killed a lion and a bear, and he's not walking around with his chest popped out. He's got an attitude of submission. Look at verse 20. David is running an errand. He's bringing food. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to battle. And listen what he did. He shouted for the battle. He said, go, win. See, he wasn't behind the scenes as a jealous person wishing that they would lose so that he could be king, so that he could show his stuff. No, he was submissive and he was cheering on those that were in the battle. Even though he was Saul's armor bearer. He was the king of Israel's armor bearer. He wasn't in the battle. But you don't see any jealousy coming out of David. But you also see he not only had an attitude of submission, but he also had an attitude of service. In verse 26, David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now look at verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spoke, these words that asked about this uncircumcised Philistine, these men rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Let me close by just applying a few things here. Do you realize that you have one life to live? One life. David saw that he was anointed to be king. He prepared himself. And then he saw the battle. He saw the situation. He saw Saul and his men fearful and trembling. And he heard the curses from the mouth of Goliath. And here little David, 19-year-old David, says, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll take care of him. Okay? And Saul's probably like, I'll be done with this guy once and for all. Go ahead. Go ahead. But David had experienced the power of God when he looked into the face of that lion and smote him and killed him. He had practiced on those targets far away, smaller than Goliath's forehead. He was ready. Most of all, he was trusting in the Lord his God. Now, let me ask you, are you having a difficult, disappointing time in your life? Disappointments are divine appointments. Don't ever forget that. God will use those disappointments to turn you into what He wants you to be. He loves to take disappointments and turn shepherd boys into kings.